Greetings. Happy Monday. Welcome to the Steve Dace Show here, live and on demand on Blaze TV, radio, and podcast. I am Steve Dace with Todd Erzin. Aaron McIntyre is still on paternity leave for one more week, but we are in the very capable hands of our intern, Victoria, that Aaron did a fantastic job training and has also done a fantastic job for us. So outside of Aaron's analysis, which is a big part of the show, and his montage, technically, you know, I've heard from a ton of people, and congratulations to you, Victoria. They have not noticed a difference in the program at all. So
good news.
Yeah, that is good news. So well done. We appreciate your contribution here last week, and just don't suck this week. Finish the race. All right. Finish it strong. We are brought to you by our friends over at First Cup Coffee Company, a Christian-owned patriot coffee company that stands for the same core values of faith, family, and freedom that you do. But don't buy the coffee for that reason. Buy it because it's good coffee. And then because it's good coffee, choose them over others because they share your values. With a flavor for every freedom-loving American, the roast date's right there on every bag. You'll see it is shipped to you within days of being roasted. You can get 10% off if you use my last name, Dace, as your promo code at firstcup.com. Firstcup.com, promo code Dace. And if you subscribe, you'll get an additional 10% off for the life of the subscription at firstcup.com using the promo code Dace. Coming up next hour, we're going to be joined by one of the, I guess we'll say one of the larger platformed independent journalists in Florida, Chris Nelson. That fair? Good description, you think? Do you think that's fair, Todd? I'm asking.
Seems like it.
I hope so. Otherwise, we're wasting our time.
There's an enigmatic quality to this whole terra firma that we're trying to negotiate regarding the former DeSantis fans.
I mean, if I've responded to everybody who said something negative about me with a Twitter egg and three followers, we'd just, you know, it'd be Festivus on here airing of grievances every single day. We wouldn't get anything done. But when somebody who has a following, especially when it's somebody who is also out of the DeSantis camp, who thinks I am basically a sellout and not to be trusted, well, I think that that's a worthy conversation. We've tried to do these many times over the years. How many of these invites, I've just lost count, how many we've tried this with over the years. Almost nobody ever takes us up on it. Okay. But Chris thankfully has. So next hour, we will find out why I'm a sellout and not worthy of being trusted. And we'll let Chris make his case and we'll give our reaction. Then you guys can make your decisions on that. I figure, hey, we're going to sit here and analyze other people's decisions and choices and opinions and worldviews. It ought to be fair if people are allowed to do the same thing to us.
Sure.
Right? And given that this is somebody who, by his own hard work, has built a platform where he's got about, 25,000 Twitter followers that he built from absolute scratch. This is a guy that, you know, has clearly some worthwhile opinion. So we'll find out what Chris has to say in the next hour. At the bottom of this hour, mark your tape. This doesn't happen very often, okay? But this is one time that I'm actually going to defend the right. This is one time, as someone who is notoriously difficult on my own team, this is one time where I don't think pointing fingers at one another works. And it has to do with women voters. And I'm going to discuss why. And, you know, with me, chances are we're going to one of two places, the scriptures or the data and the scriptures, right? That's where we're going. Okay. So, and a lot of times all the data does is just quantify for us in the real world what the scriptures have to say, because the Bible isn't an old book that tells us what happened. It's an eternal book that tells us what is happening and always happens, right? And this is another one of those examples. So we'll get to that with our good friend Bob Vanderplaats at the bottom of the hour. And I'm going to have a lot to say about what transpired in the Congress over the weekend. But before we get there, today, of course, so that all righteousness is fulfilled. Today, of course, is a momentous day on the planetary calendar. It is the day that we memorialize and observe an event founded, or at least co-founded, by a gentleman who took his cause so seriously, the environment, that he murdered his girlfriend and then composted her remains in his trunk. That is how seriously he took recycling the raw material back into the earth. Of course, I am talking about Earth Day, and if you need another reminder of the reason for the season, here it is.
Uh-huh.
Deep in the woods of North Carolina, an extremist eco-group called Earth First bewails the violation of American nature.
I want to mourn the loss of all the old growth trees I've seen and tell them that we love them and that we don't want them to die, that there are some people here who do care. So I want you to know that, trees, that we care.
I think we are deeply hurting in America. I think we are deeply craving answers. I think that we've lost our identity as we have evolved into technology and into industrialized society. Bring me to this cathedral. Bring me to those guys. Bring me to this rock that has the most incredible life. That makes me feel alive.
I've looked at clear cuts and burnt forest, and I've felt outraged, but I didn't scream and I didn't cry. And I need to.
I think we just need a palate cleanser after that. So, if you want to make sure you do not send your kids to a school that teaches that as academic curriculum, look up our friends over at the Freedom Project Academy. FPA has perfected online learning, and they do it without leftist propaganda, gender-bending, race-baiting, DEI, indoctrination. Parents, listen up. This is where you want to put your kids. I can't give it a better recommendation than my own son, Noah, went to FPA for a couple of years before he took an interest in extracurricular activities like football, and we put him in Des Moines Christian, which is the sweater that I'm wearing here today. But I can't rave about FPA more. They get outstanding results with homeschool courses for students K through 12, built on Judeo-Christian values and a classical curriculum. Your kids are going to read full books, learn how to write in cursive, study the full scope of history, graduate with knowledge years above their government school peers who are learning the Earth First curriculum instead. So right now you can save 10% on tuition when you enroll at freedomforschool.com. F-O-R, freedomforschool.com, freedomforschool.com. We cannot afford to hand another generation over to the left, so don't. Go to freedomforschool.com. Okay.
Is it too much to ask to get a VH1, Where Are They Now retrospective on those folks? How many people took it all the way? Are they compost right now?
They might be composting their own remains. That is, if they are completely consistent with their own viewpoint, yes. You always notice that they're always really good at tithing with other people's money and sacrificing other people's way of life and lives.
Composting with other people's bodies.
Yeah, and composting other people's bodies, too. Yes, indeed. All right. Let's get serious for a second about what happened over the weekend. And to me, there are two things that transpired over the weekend. One is a trend that has been ongoing. Really, I would go all the way back to the House banking scandal. And if you remember that over 30 years ago, and really the House banking scandal made Rush Limbaugh, many people believe. His calling out of that, and this is where members on both sides, essentially Rush sort of created the proto version of right-wing populism. There were members on both sides, plenty of moderate establishment Republicans, and then plenty of Democrats, Dan Rostenkowski kind of being the leader, the figurehead of this, where they could just write checks out of the House bank that there was not actually money in their account. Do you remember this?
Mm, yeah.
I mean, just absolute, complete, total grift. Just writing themselves checks, just printing themselves money like they do now, but for themselves, like they do now. Anyway, that was, at least as in my memory bank, in my era, and I'm 50 now, that was kind of the very first populist, I would say, collective outrage against Congress as a body, DC as a system, that I, at least in our era, I'm sure if people that are in older generations can maybe point to things, but for our generation, to me, I would say that's kind of the genesis inflection point. Fair?
Sure.
From there, kind of the next big inflection point was the TARP. You know, George W. Bush suspending free market principles to save the free market. I remember Scott Rasmussen telling me at the time that it was the least popular piece of legislation he had ever polled up until that point in his career, and it still might remain so. I remember one of my best buddies was, I think, the chief of staff for former Congressman Steve King, and he's in a meeting. I'll just tell you it was, because now that King's out of the Congress, I think it's okay. My good buddy Brian English, who is an activist now with the Church Ambassador Network down in Texas, okay, and ran Ted Cruz's Iowa caucus campaign, victorious Iowa caucus campaign in 2016. And Brian told me a story once about how he was in there with Congressman King, and there were several Republican members in there with their chiefs of staff and their higher staff members, and they're listening to this presentation by this economist who is telling them this won't work, you'll likely cost yourselves the election, it won't accomplish anything that you think that it will, and it won't even work as sort of a we did something, we call them virtue signals now, but show votes is what we used to call them back then, in another iteration, right? I mean, this economist just sitting there flat out telling him, showing him the data and the politics of it. This is dumb. It'll be unpopular. No one will like this. It won't help it. Okay. And yet most of the people that were in that meeting just went out there and voted for the TARP anyway. And that gave birth to the Tea Party movement. The TARP is what gave birth to the Tea Party movement. You think about the collective outrage against Obamacare that came after that. And you remember when our own Senator Chuck Grassley was one of the Republicans, because Iowa was like the health insurance capital of America. All right. And so, you know, Grassley working as a lobbyist basically for those interests was very involved in the initial conversations on Obamacare. And remember then those Republican senators and congressmen went home for the August recess and did their home tours with the town halls, including Grassley. That's the that's really the only time in Grassley's career that there was serious blowback to the point of an actual real viable primary challenger that he was concerned about. And those big stories that year, and that led to the kind of another, you know, Tea Party election. That was also part of the Tea Party election wave heading into that. Okay. I would say what happened this weekend, if it's not in that class, whatever the tier below that class is, and it's only because we're so more desensitized than we were with the House banking scandal or Obamacare or TARP, that this is kind of almost a sunk cost to be not listened to and betrayed. That previous generations were used to corrupt politicians, but they were used to them at least telling them what they wanted to hear with the cameras on and to their faces. In this generation, it's just getting increasingly naked that they're not even gonna stab you in the back. They look forward to just doing it with the cameras on, or as you like to say, Todd, the lie is the point. So that's one big thing that has gone on this weekend. No money for our borders, $9 billion for Hamas. No money for our borders, $9 billion for Hamas. No money for our borders, what was it, $60 billion more for Ukraine or something like that?
It was a lot.
No money for our borders, money for Israel's borders. No money for our own. There's going to be a lot of people that you're going to already have tuned into today, or will tune into here following us today, that will get into the populist economic, they don't listen to you side of this every bit as well as we could do ourselves, if not better. So I don't want to be a redundancy. Let me just say now, word up to everything all the other people you're going to listen to talk about this to say today, I'm in agreement. All right. At this point, I'm fine just shutting the damn thing down for the year. I want to talk about the other angle that's coming out of this, that maybe more uniquely fits into the wheelhouse of our show, given its preeminence of a biblical worldview. By the way, not that stealing, that's against the command. That's a commandment, right?
Don't do that.
Yeah. God hates unequal weights and measures, you know? So I don't want to make it look like these other broader populist economic aspects are not spiritual in nature and biblically a priority. They are. But I just think that there's going to be a lot of places today where you're going to be able to tune in and other people are going to just knock it out of the park, walking through and channeling your angst and anger over that. Right.
Yeah.
I think that's one that a lot of people in our movement and business are going to be very well equipped to do. And why attempt to do something that they'll all do? And we may or may not be better at it. Let's instead look at the second prong. But I wanted to mention that first prong because I wanted you guys all to know, oh, I'm feeling you on that, 100%. Okay? But there's a secondary aspect to this that I do think is also important that I want to address. And this is something that has come up on the right quite a bit since October the 7th. And I want to use the Candace Owens-Ben Shapiro debate as the proxy for this. They're not the only two figures involved in these conversations. There's others, but they're the two most probably noteworthy. It supposedly led to a split on a professional level between the two of them. I have no idea. Okay. I want to just say this from the outset. I don't know Candace Owens at all. Never spoken to her. Don't know her at all. In another life, I worked in the same radio network with Ben Shapiro in another era, pre-COVID era. He endorsed several of my books. And I've expressed a high regard for his intellect. You know, I put him up there with Newt Gingrich, among the smartest people I've met in this business. Fair?
Yeah.
If you were to ask me, and I think it's fair for me to reveal this if we're going to use that as an example, if you were to ask me kind of my 10,000-foot view of the two, I would actually tend to side more on an issue-by-issue basis. Except for this one, on an issue-by-issue basis, I'd probably tend to side more with Candace, with her brand being much more questioning of institutions. That would certainly align more with us. But there's things I've seen from afar. Maybe if we ever got to sit down, she could explain them to me. But there are things I've seen from afar that have me doubting just how much of what she says she actually believes and how much of it is it for effect. Fair?
Yes.
I think Ben is an individual of extremely high integrity and intelligence. I also think he's an institutionalist, and that has caught him on the wrong side of some dramatic showdowns that we have had the last few years, beginning with a certain scandemic that started on March 16th of 2020. Fair?
Yes.
Okay. So I think it's important for me to disclose that, since I'm going to invoke that as my analogy here. You guys should know what my kind of view is on this. Now, I want you guys to know, and you can back me up on this, Todd, what we just told you is the most in-depth conversation we've ever had about this, publicly or privately, even as a team. We have really not. I'm not really that invested in what someone who I'm not sure I think is a trustworthy person had, you know, the personal pissing match they have with another person who has just been unable on multiple occasions to update his worldview for the current signs of the times we're in. Just, I've got bigger things to do, only 24 hours in a day. And so that's as deep as my analysis on that fracas goes. And yep. I don't care. Right?
True.
We're not even like privately, like, you know, kvetching about it. I don't care. But because it's kind of become a symbol for the current debate occurring on the right about rethinking our relationship with Israel and right wing orthodoxy when it comes to the Middle East, let's go with that example. Okay. Now, on this debate, I would, in terms of framework, be more aligned with Shapiro. But in terms of application, I would be aligned with neither. But I would say this. If you have Candace Owens' view, or if you are concerned that Candace Owens is essentially attempting to dog whistle anti-Semitism into the mainstream right, this weekend was a banner weekend for you. Candace Owens won her argument this weekend. Go out there and tell a bunch of struggling Americans that their borders don't matter, but Israel's borders matter more. Weimar Republic, anybody? Let's just go right out there and let's just hand the blame the Jews crowd. Let's just hand them a Trump card with our own video clips on it. This was a banner weekend for anti-Semitism. And that's why I'm not surprised that the vote that occurred in the Congress over the weekend was followed up by what we saw occur on Ivy League campuses over the last 36 hours. I saw Yale, Columbia, were those the two? Were there others that you know of?
Well, a little bit, but those are the two prominent
essentially
ones,
surrounding yeah. Jews, not letting them pass. Northwestern, too, so another private elite academic school that 99.5% of us couldn't get into. Okay, I mean, not shocking the timing of those things because the bell has been rung. Every talking point of someone who uses anti-Zion, uses Zionist as a pejorative, whether they do so in Farsi or English, your box was checked this weekend because the interests of the Israeli people were put ahead of the interest of the American people. And I'm sorry, I am a staunch advocate of Israel, but that's a no from me, dog. No. Furthermore, it's an excellent recruitment tool for white nationalists and anti-Semites, but I repeat myself. How many see I told you so's within the bowels of their Reddit forums or whatever apps they're still allowed on, okay, and platforms, do you think they have exchanged among one another?
A couple of times.
How many see I told you so texts do you think Candace Owens has sent in the last 72 hours or received probably? You were right. Should have listened to you. You played right into their hands. What Mike Johnson is doing here, and I'm going to tell you right now, if you are a committed dispensationalist who loves Israel, you should be extremely concerned about what is happening right now. Because this is essentially a Scopes monkey trial moment. Where the fallout from this and the blowback from this is so overwhelming, like it was to the Scopes monkey trial, no one wanted to be called a fundamentalist ever again. And so people just said, no, I'm not, without even knowing what a fundamentalist was, what the history of fundamentalism is. I mean, ultimately, you should actually want to believe in the fundamentals of whatever religion you believe in. Otherwise, why would you believe in it, right?
Yes.
I mean, what's the point of believing in a religion if you don't share their fundamentals, right?
Yeah.
But we don't do that level of critical thinking, do we? When a term gets smeared right away, you're like, no, that's not me. That's not me. That's not me. I don't, you know, without even knowing what it means. That's not me. That's not me. Like how we do with Puritan nowadays. Puritan's a bad word. They founded the country. Moron. We wouldn't be here without the Puritans. Idiot. Same thing, though. A branding issue. The branding that is being attached to being pro-Israel, particularly if you are a Christian now, is a recruitment tool for the talking points of Islamists and anti-Semites. We just told hundreds of millions of struggling Americans that Israel matters more than they do to their own country. Linking the funding of Israel with Ukraine or anything else, not linking it with any form of border security or relief for the American people, is Mike Johnson isn't one hero. He's not the church. There's a hey, when CNN's calling you Churchill, spoiler alert, you're not. And they literally did that over the weekend. There's a reason why a bunch of Democrats who are anti-Israel and at least playing footsie with Islamists of Dearborn, Michigan, applauded the passage of this bill over the weekend. Well, Steve, let's just not be automatically a reactionary. Well, I don't know. Sometimes being a reactionary is good. Never is being a fool. So if I seek to pass a law that purports to stop children from being trafficked, and it's endorsed by NAMBLA, but the actual law enforcement agencies that are on the ground rescuing children say, that dog ain't gonna hunt. Should I be a reactionary or not, do you think, in that case, Todd?
There might be some questions.
There might be. Guessing NAMBLA probably is never going to endorse something that earnestly protects children. And it's NAMBLA.
And they, if memory serves, they weren't waving Israel flags in Congress, were they? I think those were the yellow ones.
Yeah, those are the Ukrainian flags.
Yes, correct.
Yes.
Questions.
We are broke. We're broke. One of the Ten Commandments is not, thou shalt make sure Israel has all updated weapon systems, regardless of your own situation. That's not a commandment. Nor is there one that says, thou must put the nation of Israel, regardless of its prophetic iteration at any point in time in history, ahead of your own country. That's also not a commandment. But there are two commandments that the Jews were given, thou shalt not steal and thou shalt not covet. So what we did is we made coveting. We created a welfare state now where you were entitled to things that don't belong to you. You were entitled to tie that to someone else's pocketbook, which is a breaking of the commandment of stealing. We institutionalized coveting, a breaking of another commandment. And so we're broke. Trillions of dollars in debt. And we've printed 80% of all dollar bills that have ever been in our money supply just since 2020. And now we have the worst inflation in 50 years as a result. We're broke. Okay. There's a reason why when you're on an airplane and it's about to crash, They tell you to make sure to affix your own mask first. You're of no use to your neighbor next to you, whom you're commanded to love, and your children, who you'll probably instinctively just do so because you're an Imago Dei. You're of no use to them sitting next to you until you are safe first. How are we helping Israel by fulfilling the talking points of anti-Semites and further weakening Israel's only one true ally on this planet, us? We're not. The idea that we could somehow buy our way out of breaking the laws of nature and nature's God by continuing to not deal with our own problems but send money to Israel instead. Nowhere in the Bible. What is in the Bible, God is no respecter of persons. Jew and Gentile alike, without the atoning blood of Christ, goes to hell. Jew and Gentile alike will have their sins punished without the grace of God. And the idea that I could just do something easy and not actually have to do the hard work of addressing real problems, just print more money and send it to Israel, don't worry about our own, that is such a this generation thing. Hey, I voted Republican and watched Fox News. I didn't actually get up off my chair and go to a school board meeting ever. That is such a this generation thing. And it is a cursed and wicked generation. This whole thing is vile and disgusting. It actually works against the claimed theology. And that's why those who are influenced by beings who hate any orthodox theology are applauding it. That's why they're applauding it. Fools, one and all. I don't think Mike Johnson's a traitor. That would require some form of critical thinking. He's a fool. And he's checking boxes for the very people he claims he's against. And against the very people and movements he claims that he's for. Not unlike, by the way, basically what I just told you, is Mike Johnson is most suburban evangelical megachurches incarnate. I am placating people who hate God and abandoning the people who do. Got to grow those numbers, don't you know? Got to be a people pleaser, don't you know? No, Mike Johnson's not a traitor. He's a squealer. And I know the squealers. He's one of them. Mike Johnson today is proud. It fits his worldview that he got a commendation from CNN, and he's getting blasted by his own people. Because that's what's coming out of most of our pulpits in the evangelical church nowadays. I fear the events of what occurred over the weekend because I don't think it's a good idea on any level to turn our backs on Israel. I fear the events that have occurred over this weekend have set the stage that a lot of people who previously just instinctively were okay with Israel might actually join now with those who think we should turn our backs on them. Why? Because their government turned their back on them first. You know, your temperature at night can have one of the greatest impacts on your quality of sleep, and your quality of sleep can have one of the greatest impacts on what kind of day you end up having as well. Just even from mood to productivity and everything else. That's why you want to check out our friends over at Miracle Made with their silver-infused fabrics that make temperature-regulating bedding so you can sleep at the perfect temperature all night long. I am a huge fan. They came on board last year. We put them to the test during one of the hotter... We had one of the hottest stretches, summer stretches in Iowa history at one point last year. And yet... last summer was the first time in the 18 years we've lived in our home that I did not have to augment the central air with the ceiling fan. That's how good these things work. So then what about during the winter? Well, we had one of the worst Januaries in Iowa history. They did great as well. This time of year where, you know, it can get cold at night, warm during the day. Do I turn the heat on? Do I have the windows open? You can do both in a given day. These things are fantastic, and they're also extremely comfy. Should throw that in too. Because, I mean, hey, you can regulate your temperature at night with aluminum foil. I doubt wrapping yourself in that's a good night's sleep. So these are also very, very comfy. All right, so if you want comfort and quality Miracle Sheets, luxuriously comfortable, without the high price tag, in fact, we're going to make it even cheaper for you if you go to trymiracle.com/dace. That's trymiracle.com/dace. If you order there today, you save over 40%. And if you use our promo code DACE at checkout, you'll get 3 free towels and save an additional 20%. So you can't beat it. Basically, up to 60% off and 3 free towels. If you go to trymiracle.com/dace and use the promo code DACE, trymiracle.com/dace, use the promo code DACE. Let's welcome in our good friend Bob Vanderplaats from The Family Leader. And Bob, you and I have been doing this, I mean, it's been a long time, right? I mean, I'm trying to think the first time we did this, I mean, I might have still been doing a local sports talk radio show, and you were making the rounds as a former athletic coach in Iowa running for governor, right?
I think you're right.
Yeah, so that's
Jock Radio.
Yeah, yeah, wow.
And I didn't know that we had Republican County Central Committee anything, much less county chair, state central committee. I had no idea there was this kind of apparatus.
It was a simpler time.
It was.
Yes. So we're talking, what's that, maybe, wow, that'd be 99, 2000?
Yeah.
So like 25 years ago.
Yeah, 2002 that, maybe. Yeah. You started going into that area.
So you and I have done a lot of these together.
Yeah, we have.
We've covered a lot of ground over the years, right?
Sure.
This may be the very first time that I can recall that I am going to say, this is actually not something that we on the right should fight with each other about. I'm not sure I've ever done that. Like, can you think of a time we've ever done that as a conversation where I have said, actually, this one's not our fault. We shouldn't really turn on each other over this one.
Not a whole lot of times.
No,
right.
No.
We haven't backed away from a lot of
usually
fights.
Usually I'm among the first to say, this is our fault, and start turning on people.
You bet.
But in this case, I truly don't believe this is our fault at all. I don't think there's anything that we could do politically anyway to alleviate the situation, to remedy the situation. I don't think it's from people, you know, tweeting repeal the 19th on Twitter. I don't think most Americans even know what a red pillar is, or a hyper trad wife who thinks you can or you know, who thinks that she should be put in timeouts. I don't think most people even know what these things are. Okay. And I think we've already examined this with more lint in the navel than most Americans have even pondered. Okay. So what is it that I'm talking about?
Which is most items, by the way, but keep going.
That's true, yeah. Unfortunately. Yeah. But it's this from a New York Times Siena College poll. This graphic made the rounds all over the right last week. Okay. And it showed the gender gap in this Joe Biden, Donald Trump poll. And I guess, yeah, I also owe 10 bucks to the poll, Todd, don't let me forget that. It showed a 16-point gender gap between Joe Biden and Donald Trump. And this touched off a lot of takes, okay, from even people I like who usually I stand with, or they stand with me when it comes to pointing out just the buffoonery at times we mm-hmm. do on our own side. But in this case, I want to go to the data, because to me, it's the scriptures and or the data always reign supreme with me. So I want to share some data with you and the audience, Bob, and get your take on it. All right. Here is the margin in the 2020 presidential election, married women and unmarried women. All right. So in the 2020 presidential election, Donald Trump carried married women by 4 points. Joe Biden carried unmarried women by 27 points. In 2016, Donald Trump carried married women, or I'm sorry, Hillary carried married women by 2 points, and unmarried women, Hillary carried them by 29 points. In 2012, Mitt Romney won married women by 7 points. Barack Obama won unmarried women by 26 points. You sensing a trend here?
I am.
2008, married women, John McCain won them while he's getting routed across the country. John McCain won married women by 5 points. Barack Obama won unmarried women by 25 points. And then 2004, there's really no reliable exit polling on married and unmarried women any older than that. Okay. So this is as far back as I could find it. 2004, George W. Bush won married women by 10 points. John Kerry won unmarried women by 18 points. I don't think this has anything to do with, I don't think these things necessarily help, okay? But the cause is not that Donald Trump said something, he said grab him by the hoo-ha to Billy Bush on a video 15 years ago. It's not some red pillar who thinks on Twitter, who's proud to, you know, never get married and thinks Andrew Tate is a demigod. I don't think it's about any of those things. I don't. That doesn't necessarily mean I think those things are good and positive and I, you know, endorse them. But I think that sometimes I think we should affix blame where it belongs. This is the spiritual condition of unmarried women, because this is driven all by one particular issue. Unmarried women just want to be able to kill their children whenever they want. They want to not have to worry about them or have them and dispatch them and discard them whenever they want. That's it. It's not any more complicated than that. There's really not even much we can do to bridge this gap, frankly, because what's the number one most loyal issue voting base in the Republican Party, Bob?
The pro-life base.
The pro-life base. So this is the number one most loyal, largest voting bloc the Republican Party has, and it's in direct, you know, it's in direct conflict with one of the drive. I mean, you can really just tell someone's voting pattern. You go through all these exit polls from the last 20 years. The more married you are, the more you tend to vote Republican, and the less married you are, the more you tend to vote Democratic. It's really the number one dividing line of voting patterns in America is are you married or not? Now, since this gap is entirely driven by unmarried women, what the focus should be on, therefore, because there's no way to lessen the gap with unmarried women. And if you try to do that, what you'll end up doing, and this is why any Republican who at least is not publicly and very strongly pro-life never wins presidential elections, because if you try to do this from the weakness and the negative of, well, let me try to only lose single women by 17 points instead of 27, you'll end up losing some of your own base in the process by selling them out, which is what went on here for the last couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What you actually need to do is you need higher to compensate for this. And unmarried women on average are about a quarter of the electorate over the last 25 years. Every presidential election, they've been somewhere between 22 and 27%. All right. So they're about a quarter of the electorate on average. What you have to do to compensate for this is you have to make a stronger, broader message so your turnout with married women is better. Okay. That's how you compensate for that. But you're probably not going to turn out more married women by being less pro-life. You're probably going to do that by being better on issues that involving security that moms vote on quite a bit, law and order, strong borders, things of that nature, less debt, things of that nature. So you have to turn out more married women to compensate. But this gender gap is almost entirely driven by single women, which are a largely unreachable group because they're at odds with the number one driving principle within the Republican Party.
Well, I think it's an incredible insight. And it's one of those things where it might be duh-huh. Unmarried women want to have control of their body, which means control of the babies, control of the life that's inside of their babies. And so therefore, they're going to vote for the candidates pro-abortion. You know that. So in this case, Joe Biden, and in other cases, you pointed out. The other thing, though, Steve, I think you can see this with your own daughter, Anna. And we see with our own kids, is that when they start having kids, they become more conservative. Because why? They start becoming protectors of those kids in regards to, are you going to expose them to drag queen story hour? What do you teach them in schools? That's why school choice has been driven up. And so marriage becomes an underlier. So, yes, I think on the one hand, unmarried people are saying, I want to have control. Are you going to abort or not abort? But on the other hand, once they do get married and they start having children, one is the thing is, why would everyone want to abort that child? I mean, you take a look at Aaron's off on paternity leave right now. And Abigail, he'd be like, this is a gift from God. You know, Ben, gift from God. And so that's where Aaron's at right now. But I think that marriage is the thing about now you throw in the mother instincts. Take a look at Anna right now with her newborn baby. There's a mother instinct there. You want to protect that child. That's why the conservatives are always going to do much better with the married population than, say, the unmarried.
I don't think it's any more nuanced than that. I don't, and I think that you're dealing with the spiritual condition
right.
of unmarried women.
You know, we had a guy in our offices last week, and he was very tied to the Koch brothers, Americans for Prosperity, you know, economic freedom, limited government, all stuff that we agree with. And he said, I left after 2012, and this guy was a key pillar to this. He left after 2012 saying, if you divorce faith and marriage and family, I have no idea how you get to economic freedom, how you get to limited government, how you get to economic prosperity. So he was seeing marriage and family being a driving factor for faith, getting families into church, but also doing what Steve, you just pointed out in these polling numbers, they're going to be voting more conservative values, more because they're looking out for the kids. You have to give people, politicians in particular, a lens of the next generation, just not the next election.
So I just got this note from a Bill Ruscher who says it's not just about the abortion issue. Uncle Sam is their sugar daddy as well. The monthly welfare check. I'm not a Republican. The Republican Party has been no threat to any welfare program in America for like 30 years. No. Honestly, that is an argument from 1984.
No.
Okay. The Republican Party is not any form of a serious threat. In fact, the last serious shrinking of government we had was under Bill Clinton. Okay, where we had welfare reform and three strikes and you're out and everything else. This century, the Republican Party, no iteration of it has been any threat at all to be any to take away any form of your government sugar daddy first of the month Bone Thugs and Harmony check. If anything, they're trying to outbid Democrats. We'll send even more money. We'll print even more money. We'll do this even better. Yep. Okay, I mean we're not trying to cut Social Security or anything at all. I mean we just had a presidential primary where the two leading candidates, one of them attacked the other from the left, saying you actually believe in shrinking government and lowering entitlement debt. Okay, so I don't know. That's an argument from a party that doesn't exist and hasn't this entire century.
And that's where I think you get like, you know, this party looks a lot like the other party. You know, what difference does it make? Type thing when it comes to entitlements. But I think when you put that stat up on the abortion issue, when it comes to married women and unmarried women, that's why you see a President Trump and a Carrie Lake just running from this issue. Matter of fact, you watched the Carrie Lake commercial. I know that you and I talked about it, not on air, but offline. That's a pro-choice commercial.
Yes, it is.
I don't know how much more pro-choice you can be than that commercial. And that's what they're trying to do to say, I want to close that gender gap. And I'm just telling you, I don't see it. I think they're going to say, you know, you're not fooling me with that game. I think we'd rather know who are you when it comes to the life issue. And maybe this is who they are as well.
Let me test my hypothesis that there may be nothing on a policy level we could do. We got about 3 minutes here. Let me test this really quick to you. If we advocated stronger policies about forcing men to pay for the children they sire, stronger penalties for running out on women, things of that nature. You know, my mom had me at 15. That was not an easy way to live.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. If we demonstrated, particularly, I wouldn't ask government to do this, but what ministries like Preborn do, where they're there for the moms after the baby is born too. Okay. Would that alleviate any of these things, do you think, to a measurable degree, or do you think that the heart is seared here? On that level?
No, I don't know if the heart is seared. I think the heart is deceptive above all else. We read that in Scripture, but I don't think it's seared. I think what it is, and that's why I talk about the life debate, it's going to get one in the body of Christ, being the body of Christ, being the hands and feet. So when I spoke at Cradle of Hope in Mount Pleasant a week ago, that's where you're going to win this issue. Because now you're there for, yes, the baby in the womb, but also for the mom in the crisis pregnancy. Mm-hmm. And we have DNA and a lot of other things today that can attach to dad for economic support. But I think it's the church being the church. The other thing I believe that's winning the day is science. Science, you know, that is a baby. You can say whatever you want. It's a little bit like Bill Maher that we played last week. You know, I'm just comfortable with killing the baby. Well, science is telling us more and more that is a baby. That's not some blob of tissue, whatever you think it might be. That's a baby. So science wins the day, but now I think the hands of feet have got to win the day as well. And then I think the Church of Jesus Christ needs to turn out to the polls so that these politicians stop running from this issue and they actually run to champion a culture of life.
You have any thoughts on that question, Todd?
I think the heart is largely seared, and it's way worse than we think, because, Steve, you and I both know from recon we have from our own children at the Christian school our kids tend to what a lot of the girls think about the life choice issue, and it's scary. They're as worldly as anybody else.
Well, it is scary. It's as worldly, but what is, we need to start flipping it. That's whether it be from the church, from the Christian school perspective, from parents. But again, having champions for the culture of the sanctity of human life, whether it be your show or hopefully one day a candidate for president who really wants to champion the culture of life and do it in the right way. So I believe it's a winnable issue. I think we're experiencing a boomerang effect. I think the stats that Steve put up is very real about the unmarried woman versus the married woman. But boy, there is a transformational change when an unmarried woman becomes married and then has a child. And again, I'd point to Anna being one of those as well. Now you'll do anything you can for that life. And I think those are the champion voices that we need to have.
Well, I think if it's a combination of the perception that government is the replacement for a husband or a father on top of the abortion issue, then there's no amount of there's no messaging recalibration we could do to break
sure.
through that.
Sure, why wouldn't the heart be seared?
If it is just primarily I want to kill my child, then maybe there would be a possibility to demonstrate the sincerity that you have for both the mother and the child in that case, but. But by and large, this is a sunk cost of politics. And chasing after this is how you end up dividing your own base. And it's one of the major reasons that Mitt McCain never got elected president. And you see Donald Trump going down the exact same road.
Yeah.
Right. And 30 today, seconds. I'll give you the last word.
Today, you're exactly right. This is a sunk issue. Those numbers are going to be the same numbers. We have an opportunity in front of us. But it's going to be through the bride of Christ, his church, to make this happen.
All right, we'll come back and we'll find out why I can't be trusted and I'm a sellout next. All right, back here with Hour 2 here on Blaze TV Radio and Podcast. Let us know what you think about what we think via the SteveDace.com inbox. Take advantage of that by emailing the show, steve@stevedace.com, D-E-A-C-E. Like us on Facebook, MeWe and Gab. You can follow me at Steve Dace Show on Twitter, Gitter, Instagram, and TikTok. If you listen to the podcast version, thank you very much. Please, if you wouldn't mind, show your appreciation for the program by leaving us a 5-star review, only if you like the show. Okay. If you don't like the show, we would never ask you to lie. If you kind of like the show, though, we are not above asking you to completely embellish and exaggerate how much you like it. All right. So our preference is just to see 1- and 5-star reviews with nothing in between. And I think we're doing a pretty good job with that.
Amen.
Yeah, pretty much. It's a love-hate relationship.
Yes.
And that's what we're going for here. So also make sure to hit subscribe, or if you're on iTunes, follow. That way, every time we do a new episode, it will show up in your podcast feed every single time. And we want to thank each and every one of you for doing that for us. Also want to thank our friends at Patriot Mobile, who have been on the cutting edge of developing the long needed, still not fully realized parallel economy, but for the last decade, they have been on the ground floor of helping to establish that. And thankfully, one place where it is fully realized is with a product we all need nowadays to be successful in a modern society. That's our mobile phone. Make the switch today to America's only American mobile phone provider. You don't have to directly fund the people who hate you anymore. They've got an outstanding US-based, meaning you can understand them, customer service team. They have outstanding customer service. Anytime time you need to switch to any of the three networks within their major hub or their main hub. They'll help you to do that for free. They customize your switch too. You can upgrade your phone, keep the current phone you have. You can change your number so people don't know you. You can stop getting these shame-based spam fundraising calls from the Republican Party that we're going to discuss in the overtime today. I've just never seen anything like this. I can't believe you haven't given yet. We're tired of waiting on you. I mean, I've just never seen this. And I want to, and don't bring it up yet, but in the overtime, Todd, I need to know what kind of person responds to this. Like, what kind of person responds to, I can't believe it's been this long since you've given me money. And they're like, oh, I'm sorry. Let me do this right away. Okay. I know what you're thinking. Just save it for now. All right. We'll get into that in the overtime. Okay. Anyway, patreonmobile.com/Steve is where you can go to make the switch today. So keep your phone, upgrade your phone, keep your number, change it so the Republican Party stops calling you. All right. Patreonmobile.com/Steve. Patreonmobile.com/Steve. Well, I thought this would be an interesting conversation. I mean, I you know, if you do this for a line of work, you're going to be accused of everything. And at least half of it's true. OK. And, you know, don't cry for me, Argentina. This beat's going down a mine shaft with a flashlight. I get paid fairly well to stand up for what I believe in. A lot of men would like that for a gig.
Sure.
To pay the bills. Right. OK. So I'm not here to complain or whine about it. I was fascinated, though, when someone who I was aligned with during this last primary and largely built themselves a platform countering, I want to make sure I'm getting this right, so I'll have Chris clarify this if I'm wrong, but largely built a substantial platform countering corporate media attacks against Governor DeSantis in Florida. Is that fair?
Yeah.
That's kind of how I see it from up here in Iowa. Maybe that's not a fully accurate description. But when that guy, who you would seem we would be largely simpatico with, given the events over the last couple of years, whether it's COVID reopening or the last primary, when that guy out there is now saying that he thinks we can't be trusted, I can't be trusted. Well, now I'm curious. I don't really care what, you know, Trump grifter 101. OK, so, I you know, you get paid to basically shill for a candidate. I don't really care what any of those people think about me. And frankly, I enjoy pestering them. But in this case, I was fascinated. Well, this is something new, and maybe I'm missing something. And I think we ought to hold ourselves to the same standard that we hold everybody else to, right?
Let's find out.
We sit here and hold court questioning people's decisions and intentions and worldview. If someone that we think has a legitimate platform or take wants to do that to us, we should offer them the chance to do that, right?
Mostly they don't take us up on it, but
that's
here
true.
We are.
We have tried. I mean, Todd could tell you over the years we have tried to do this many times. It has rarely been taken up, but in this case, it has. So let's welcome Chris Nelson to the program. It is good to have you with us. Chris, how are you?
Hey, Steve. It's great to be on the show. Thanks for having me.
You bet. Did I accurately kind of describe the origin of your platform? If not, let's start there and just tell us a little bit about you.
Well, you did, Steve, and it's great to talk to you. And I now know that your name is pronounced Dace. I was calling you Steve Deese for the longest time. And I got to say, my wife and I last night, in preparation for this, watched Nefarious for the first time.
Oh, yeah. What did you think?
Oh, it was so good. It was very good. So you actually wrote the book that that Glenn Beck holds up in the end?
Yes. That's the actual book itself. Yes. Yeah.
That was really good. Yeah. And, you know, people that have like a demonic influence like that, you know, I've seen them before and just how they get in people's heads. And it reminded me a lot of C.S. Lewis, and the points you made were great. And I, of course, was right in there with you during the DeSantis time, because that's when I first got to know you. Because really, since Rush Limbaugh died, I have not gotten into any radio shows or podcasts or anything like that, because I find in the end, most of these shows will just tote the party line. And, you know, I have voted for Republicans just for the sake that they're a Republican over and over and over again. And we're told, okay, you endorse the guy in the primary you like, he loses to the establishment guy, And then you got to go and vote for the establishment guy in the primary, in the general. You must vote for him. You must vote for John McCain. You must vote for Mitt Romney. Did both those things. Oh, you must vote for George Bush now. You must vote for Donald Trump. You must vote for Donald Trump. You must vote for Donald Trump again. Well, at this point, I'm saying no, especially when we got a much better third party candidate, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. But I really appreciate you standing up and being such a zealous advocate for Ron DeSantis, who is a man that we just don't have come along very often. I mean, he just this is not somebody that we see in our lifetime, somebody who successfully defeats the left and wins over and over again. But you saw what the Republican establishment did to him. When a man comes along that is the solution to all the problems that they claim to be against, they not only oppose him, but they actively seek to destroy him in every way. And I became troubled when I heard that you were joining the chorus of "We have to back Donald Trump now." Is that true? Are you doing that, Steve?
Well, let me start from the beginning. I did everything I could, at the risk of audience and everything else, to not have these conversations again. You know, I still think Ron DeSantis is the best candidate I've seen in my lifetime as a voter, and is the fulfillment of virtually every best-selling book we've ever written on the right. So I share your disdain for how he was treated and what was done with him, and I am non-bashful about continuing to share that when I think it is useful to the conversation to point out moving forward. As far as the other candidates, I went 16 years between voting for the Republican presidential nominee. I didn't vote for McCain. I didn't vote for Romney. I didn't vote for Trump the first time for all the reasons you just said. I voted for him the second time because his overall record, particularly pre-COVID, earned my vote. So, I mean, I've been making the case that you make there virtually my entire career. I drove the management at Salem Radio insane by refusing to endorse and support Mitt Romney that entire presidential campaign. Drove them nuts that I refused to do it. I just couldn't get to the point where I am primarily responsible for exposing to America via the Iowa caucus process who Mitt Romney really is. So how in the world do I now just turn around when this guy has betrayed me on virtually every issue and now he's just magically a Republican? And so now I'm just going to say that all that stuff I said those other months isn't true. Okay, now a lot of my own audience wants me to say things like that because they just flip the switch. Okay, but I can't sleep with myself at night if I do that.
So you can sleep with yourself at night for backing Trump now? Are you backing this Trump now?
Well, this is a more complicated question, Chris, because Donald.
I think it's worse than Romney or any of the rest of them. But go ahead. I'd love to hear why.
Sure, I'm happy to answer because Donald. Unlike Mitt Romney and John McCain, Donald Trump's been president, so there is a record. We have an actual record. Let's just take one issue.
We sure do.
let's just take one issue that just emerged recently. Title IX. All right. So if you look at what the Biden administration just did via Title IX, is they essentially used Title IX to erase women from much of the governing framework in our current system. They just erased them. Now, whose policies did they alter and roll back to do that? Donald Trump's. See, I think at some point there has to be some acknowledgement on both sides of this. I mean, if you can find someone, and I could do this with foreign policy. Look what's going on right now in Israel. We didn't have worries and weekends like we've had the last two weekends when Donald Trump was president over there. We had Abrahamic Accords. In fact, the structure of what the Trump administration accomplished, where they were also on the road to normalizing relations with Saudi Arabia outside of the Abrahamic Accords. They had normalized relations. Netanyahu was setting meetings with the Saudis. Those things all came out of the Trump administration. And the work that was done during that era is vital as to why you saw Jordan and Saudi Arabia not just put out photo ops or press releases, but actively act in defense of Israel when it was attacked by Iran the previous weekend. There are decisions here that have consequences. Now, Donald Trump has made decisions that are terrible and have consequences. As far as I know, I'm the only person on planet Earth that has co-written, that has had a hand in writing two best-selling books exposing all of the terrible decisions that were made during COVID. If you don't want to vote for Donald Trump strictly on the basis of that, I've said from day one, I'm not here to argue with that. I don't spend any time on my show at all advocating that people vote for Donald Trump or don't. I'm not an evangelist one way or the other. I think you can make your own decision. I understand why people have differing decisions. But there's an element within your group that acts as if this conversation only goes one way. And that's not true, because Donald Trump was also president.
With COVID? Because there
no, that's not what I mean. I mean with Trump's record. There is nothing you can tell me about Trump's record on COVID that you know more about than I do. Nothing. I literally wrote the book chapter and verse on that, and I'm literally one of the primary reasons a lot of people even know anything about it. And I'm talking about his overall record. So there were other things. There was a president. There was a presidency before March 16th, 2020.
I mean, we're talking about things that go to character here. I mean, I saw a clip of you that actually went viral, and it was exactly what I felt. You were talking about when you saw those tapes of Trump's henchmen there, Steve Bannon and Jason Miller, saying that they knew that the election wasn't stolen. But Trump allowed us to believe this anyway. And you were there having this coming to Jesus moment. And I was just relating with you so much. And I just can't imagine how you could back a man who has been such a liar and deceitful. And now we find out, you know, he was cheating on his pregnant wife with a porn star, and now then falsified records to cover it up. I mean, what on earth is Christian about that? And I think we need to come back to what would Jesus do? And I'm thinking, you remember those what would Jesus do bracelets? I mean, I think that would do us good at this time. Where it's like, okay, if Jesus was here, would he, and a registered voter in America, would he be going around going, oh, guys, I know Trump has no morals whatsoever, but we have got to vote for him because four more years of Biden would be horrible and we can't have this. And I don't think that. And I'm at a point, yeah, I voted for Trump the first time. I voted for him in 2020, even though he was the one behind the shutdown.
So wait a minute. You want to take the moral high? First of all, Jesus is here. Number one, Jesus is here. Number two, you want to take the moral high road with me when you voted for the guy when he had no record. And his only, when he had no accomplishments politically, and his only accomplishments were all of the character concerns that he had. So there was nothing to balance it out. His only record were all the character concerns that you just itemized were all we knew about him. And that's when you decided to vote for him. And you're not going to vote for him when he actually has done stuff that is good while in office. Explain the moral framework of that.
And now he's pushing Ukraine funding. He's the one that was behind all of that. He lied to us about the 2020 election.
I actually still believe the 2020 election was stolen. I just want to state for the record, I absolutely believe the 2020 election was stolen, and no one has ever provided me any proof. 100%.
I've seen a video of you saying that you can't believe it's up on Midas Touch right now. I saw a video of you saying that you couldn't when you saw the Jason Miller video.
You are mixing metaphors. What I was talking about was the amount of money they raised off of people, the amount of effort they put into messaging that, and then they didn't even believe it themselves. I absolutely don't believe that all those ballots were legitimate. I absolutely don't believe that you have the highest volume of right mail-in ballots of all time, and yet you have the lowest turnout rate than you've ever had of mail-in ballots.
Well,
there's no business system.
Did you see any of the documentary A Storm Foretold? Did you see when Roger Stone himself was saying that?
I would not pay attention to anything Roger Stone said. See, I do this weird thing, Chris, where I don't really need another man's opinion. I just kind of go with what I just do my own research.
Well, Steve, Trump's own investigator comes back and says, I was paid hundreds of thousands of dollars to turn over every rock with this thing. And it still comes back that that the 2020 election wasn't stolen. And people are sitting in jail.
Yeah, I just don't agree with you. I'll tell you why I don't agree. I'll give you, do you want me to answer your question, Chris, or you want to yell at me? Do you want me to answer your question?
Well, we have a man
then I will answer your question because it's a very important issue. Stop yelling. And I'll answer your question. The answer to your question is, I'm going to justify it. Number one, I received a phone call from one of my very best friends, who was actually one of the poll watchers for 2020, sitting outside the polling place in Philadelphia as they illegally boarded it up, as they illegally didn't allow Republican poll watchers, if he was one of them, to come in and monitor the votes of those absentee ballots as they were coming in at 2 a.m. There are no valid reasons why you'd ever do something like that. Nobody boards up windows while they're counting ballots because everything is on the up and up. Nobody does this. Number two, there are still tons of chain of custody issues where these absentee ballots that came in from Wisconsin to Atlanta and these places all over the country that were never answered. No one's ever sufficiently answered those. No one's ever. I don't know. Who are you? I don't care about Trump's investigators. I care about the work that I do. Okay. And the work that I do, I believe the election was stolen.
Show me definitive proof that the election was stolen because I don't see it. And he didn't pardon a single one
Chris,
of these
why,
guys
Chris,
on the way out the door.
Chris, why would you board up windows to count votes? Just tell me what the benign, innocent reason for that is.
Show me the evidence that this election was
stolen. I did.
Stolen
I literally just provided you an eyewitness, Chris.
That's not evidence.
An eyewitness is an evidence, Chris. I provided you an eyewitness who stood outside the polling place in Philadelphia. They didn't let him in, Chris. To count the votes. They didn't let him in to monitor the vote. Instead, they boarded up and blackened out the window. So, Chris, you tell me that's a piece of evidence. You tell me, Chris, what is the benign, innocent reason you'd ever do such a thing, Chris? Why?
That doesn't equal evidence, Steve. Okay, just because some anomalies.
Chris, I asked you a question. Why would you board up windows and blacken the windows, counting votes in one of the decisive counties? I'm providing you evidence. You're providing me associations. I just asked you a simple question, Chris.
You're just saying innuendo.
First of all, I actually know Jason Miller. You don't. Number one. Number two. Why, Chris?
Called the ringleader of the time.
Mute his mic, Victoria. We're not going to do this. Mute his mic. I'm going to ask a simple question, and I just want an answer. Simple question. Why would you board up windows and blacken out windows? What is the benign, innocent explanation for that? If you can answer that question for me, Chris, we'll go on, and you can make any claims you want whatsoever. I just want an answer to that question. Why would you board up windows and blacken the windows so that poll monitors and vote monitors from the other party cannot watch and cannot get in? That's all I want to know. I think that's a very good question. You asked for evidence. I gave you an eyewitness that I know personally who called me from the polling place on election night to tell me what he saw. So I presented you a piece of evidence. What is the benign, innocent explanation for why you would do that? I'll give you the floor. Go ahead.
It's not evidence that the election was stolen, okay? If it had been stolen, then we would have had there. This has been so investigated, okay? You had Trump paying a person to come back with evidence. He could not find definitive evidence. Sure, there were some anomalies, but you know what? Down in Florida, Governor DeSantis set up the Election Integrity Unit. And we have done a very good job down
okay,
here. Okay,
so you're not going to answer my question. But, all right, then we're just going to have to agree to disagree on this, and we're going to move on. You asked for a piece of evidence, and I gave it to you. You don't want to submit it. You don't want to consider it. That's fine. So what's your next reason why I cannot be trusted? Go ahead.
Well, here's the thing, okay? You have people that are podcast hosts, that are paid podcast hosts, that seem to have really no moral core. Now, you have seemed to have a moral core up until now. I don't really listen to your show very much because
that's
you know,
pretty obvious.
Like saying that the 2020 election was stolen because of somebody.
Oh no, I've got myriads of other reasons, but you asked me for one piece of evidence, and I gave you one, independent of everything else, and you didn't want to consider it.
But let's go back to COVID, okay?
Sure.
Trump still stands by the vaccine and claims it saved millions of lives. Okay, we have a candidate in Robert F. Kennedy Jr. that wants to rein in these three-letter agencies that has stood against COVID tyranny from the beginning. compared to a man who still goes around, still says that the vaccine saved millions of lives, still cries like a little baby that he doesn't get enough credit for it, and has not said he was sorry or said any indication that he would not lock the country down again. That, to me, is disqualifying. I will not back a man who will not say that the COVID lockdowns were a mistake. And then he goes on, just like he was undermining states that were trying to reopen, like Georgia, during his lockdowns, he's now trying to undermine states that are passing pro-life legislation, like Arizona, like Florida. He says, oh, I'm going to leave it up to the states.
All right, let's take one thing at a time. Hold on. Let's take one thing at a time. On your COVID case, you should have led with that. This is the strongest argument. This was the final year of the Trump presidency is the worst management maybe by any president in American history. If you don't want to vote for Donald Trump, and these are all things that's pretty obvious. You don't listen to the show a lot.
But you're going to vote these are all for things, him, even though he lied to everybody.
These are all things. These are all
that
things
shows
I've said.
You have no morals either, Steve.
Do you want to let me answer your question, Chris? Or are you just here to?
Well, you've set
scream.
Up this interview to be a conversation, but you're trying to do this like nefarious thing with me, where you're like talking over.
No, I'm just asking if you are making claims and I would like to respond. Take yes for an answer, Chris. I'm going to give you this point.
He lied to everybody and you don't care. You don't care because you're sitting there at the Blaze and you need to tout this line. You need to.
You know what I was reading, Chris? I wasn't going to do this, but if I wasn't going to do this, Chris, but if you want to play on your, you want to get on your moral high horse here and not apply the same standard to yourself, let's do this. The thick red journal was found in their home by his wife, Mary Richardson Kennedy, who, distraught over their impending divorce and Kennedy's serial philandering, committed suicide last year. A copy of the 398 pages reviewed by the New York Post details RFK Jr.'s daily activities, speeches, political activism, and the lives of his six children in the year 2001. But they also record the names of women with numbers from 1
You're
to 10 next to each entry. There are 37 women named in the ledger,
it up,
16 of whom get 10s.
God say you
on November 13th, 2001, RFK Jr. records a triple play. The separate encounters, code 10, 3, and 2, occurred the same day as he attended a black tie fundraiser at the Waldorf Astoria for Christopher Reeve's charity, where he sat next to the paralyzed Superman star, magician David Blaine, and comic Richard Belzer. He also, by the way, I could go on, but that's just an article from the New York Post in 2001.
Well,
you see, I do my homework, Chris. You could also point out that RFK Jr. was also on Epstein's plane. We could get into that as well.
Okay.
My point being that we live in a very complicated world. We live in a very complicated world. If you are looking for an absolutely perfect person, you are never going to find them. If Donald Trump's mistakes that I agree with you on are why you don't want to vote for him, that is fine. But do not come on here and act as if RFK Jr. tiptoes between the raindrops when his history is very, very similar to Donald Trump's. He also, by the way, has no record of doing anything on any issue I care about as a politician at all. Trump does. Trump has a record. It is mixed. It should be better. It could be better. But there is no record that RFK Jr. has at all. And if you're concerned about Donald Trump's personal character, frankly, him and RFK Jr. have very, very similar pasts. You may now respond, Chris. Go ahead.
They start. Okay, so I'm more interested in repentance, Steve. I don't know if you've ever heard of something called repentance, but Robert.
By all means, lecture me. Lecture me on
it. Will you listen? My God, every time I come on with one of you MAGA people, you scream and shriek and go nuts.
I'm a MAGA person. Robert, you know the commandment against false witness, right, Chris? Are you familiar with that one? Sounds like, well,
Robert
stop,
Kennedy,
stop,
listen.
Stop misrepresenting me, Chris. And I will stop interrupting you. Say something that's actually truthful, like you were starting to with Trump's record on COVID. You wouldn't take yes for an answer, and then you decided to come back with more things that just simply aren't true. I'm not going to let you say dishonest things to my audience, Chris. If you want to say honest things, even if they're critical of me, you may, but I'm not going to let you say dishonest things and have them go unchallenged. The idea that RFK Jr. is some morally superior person to Donald Trump when they have virtually the exact same record, they were on the exact same Epstein plane, it's just simply not true.
Steve, listen, I know about Robert F. Kennedy Jr.'s past, okay? Because I have a past as well.
We all have a past, actually, but yes.
We all have. Do you have a past, Steve?
Yeah, I talk about it on my show, which you obviously don't listen to, quite a bit.
Are you listening? Robert F. Kennedy Jr. was an addict, okay? And he did some bad things about 30 years ago or so. But he's been in recovery, and he has faced those things, and he has changed his life, and he has repented and turned it over to God through the 12 steps, which is something that Trump really needs.
The agree with you on that. But Robert F. Kennedy Jr. also believes in abortion up to birth. How is that a repentant act?
He still lies about it.
Why? Does Robert F. Kennedy believe in abortion up until birth?
If Donald Trump had repented.
The answer is yes.
Okay?
The answer is yes.
I think it's 15 weeks, but Trump is the one who's undermining pro-life states.
I agree. I've said that on my show, which you clearly don't listen to.
Because every time I come on one of these MAGA shows, I just get yelled at, blah, blah. Okay, so Kennedy has repented of those things, okay? Trump hasn't repented. Trump's sitting in a courtroom and running his mouth on social media, still lying about cheating on his pregnant wife with a porn star. If Trump had repented and apologized for this, and then there was a coming to Jesus moment there, that's what's required for forgiveness, by the way. You have to acknowledge your mistakes, repent of them, and then move on. This is what Kennedy has done a long time ago, and this is what Trump does not do to this day. He stands by the decision, and then he continues to lie about it and tell me he didn't sleep with Stormy Daniels. Of course he slept with Stormy Daniels. He's lying. And you as a Christian
Chris, let me ask a simple question. A simple question. We're way off the tracks of why we brought you on. All right. I brought you on because you said I'm not to be trusted. So far, what you've said is a bunch of stuff I've said on my show a million times. Stuff I've written in columns, written in books. Everybody knows you've said a bunch of things I largely agree with.
Just to immediately rally behind the ringleader at the time and make him ringleader
I think you should ask the Trump campaign if they consider me to be a ringleader or not. My guess is the answer is no. What am I asking you? Why am I not to be trusted, Chris?
You know what sucks? I actually like you. Out of anybody on radio right now, you are the guy who is at least shooting straight. And I think you're having a hard time with this right now, Steve.
No, I'm actually not having a hard time with it. I have no idea what it is. I don't care. Tell me why I can't be trusted. Go.
The reason why I don't trust anybody in corporate media is because what has been set up is what I call the grifter industrial complex. I gave you one ground rule coming in.
Mute him again. Todd, did we not give him one ground rule coming in?
Yes.
What was it?
Well, there were two. There was cursing and using the Lord's name in vain, and focusing on you and not the broader
that I'm not here
platform.
To. I'm not here. I'm not here for any larger conversation. I'm here to answer why I cannot be trusted.
And he agreed to.
Did we not agree to that?
Yes.
Okay. So we have to get to a break. When we come back, we'll get back to why I cannot be trusted. And if he's got broader thoughts or themes he wants to share with conservative media, probably many of which, again, I agree with and have said on this show a million times, he can do that on his own time. I will address what he thinks about me next. All right, back here on the Steve Day Show, powered by our friends over at Jace Medical. They are one of the partners that came on the show post-scandemic because they saw how the feds were saying, hey, here's this Nobel Prize award-winning drug. Here's this other drug that has saved hundreds of thousands of lives the last 60 years and you could buy over the counter. Now suddenly they are dangerous. They're horse paste. You should never touch them, right? And they were like, yeah, I'm not so sure we can trust the authorities as much as we used to. So they came up with the Jace case where they wanted to put some venerable antibiotics like a doxycycline and amoxicillin. They wanted to put those in this case so that in the future, should we have another quote-unquote emergency, there would be a supply of those drugs should they try to, you know, kill you right when you might need them the most. But then the last couple of years, they've wanted to expand that repertoire. They know that you've got drugs, particularly if you've got an elderly loved one that you're looking after right now. And you want to make sure that the medicines that they need are available to them, because now we've just got straight up supply chain shortages and everything else, drug rationing. This is why you want to go with our friends at Jace Medical. Oh, and yes, you can have ivermectin in your Jace case if you want. JaceMedical.com is where you want to go. Use the code DACE at checkout for the discount. Code DACE at checkout for the discount at JaceMedical.com. J-A-S-E, JaceMedical.com. Discount code is DACE. All right, we're back here with Chris Nelson. You can follow him on Twitter. Chris, make sure you give out your social media information. If people want to follow you, how can they do that?
At Reopen Chris.
At Reopen
and
Chris.
Everybody should know this by now. And I'm actually surprised you haven't had me on your show yet, Steve.
But Chris does a lot of great work, particularly following what is going on in the state of Florida and debunking legacy and corporate media narratives against Governor DeSantis. So that's how I heard about him. So I'd urge you to follow his work there. All right. So here, I want to reset things, Chris, and then I'm going to give you the floor. All right. So we originally brought Chris on because not everybody you disagree with just can't be trusted. I doubt Chris thinks that. At least I hope he doesn't. So we've shared areas we disagree, but I would specifically like to know if I'm being dishonest and where I can't be trusted. Chris was right to ask me for evidence that of why I thought the 2020 election was stolen. I provided a piece of one from an eyewitness that I personally mentored and helped get into politics, who's been a guest in my home countless times. My children have all grown up knowing who he is, and I think he's a pretty potent witness. He didn't want to address that. Okay. Chris brought up what he thought about Trump and why he won't vote for him again because of COVID. I mean, I've said on this show a million times, if you don't want to vote for Trump for those reasons, I can't blame you. I almost don't want to do it myself. That's why I went through this entire thing with DeSantis to the last possible minute, because he definitely was the superior candidate when I thought was the biggest test of the era. So I've struggled to find out. Really, all Chris has said is a lot of things, frankly, I agree with that I've said on my show a million times. So I'm not really sure, other than Chris did tell me that he voted for Trump twice. But now, when he apparently wasn't worth voting for, and voted for him at a time that I didn't. Why? Because there was no actual governing record to counter the record of, in my view anyway, his record on a personal level with his personal behavior that I found problematic. So, Chris, here's what I want to do, because I'm going to always get the last word. It's my show. I'm going to be back here tomorrow. Okay. One way or the other. So I want to make sure you get to say what you want to say. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to put 5 minutes on the clock here. All right. And I'm going to stay silent for 5 minutes. And I'm going to give you the entirety of those 5 minutes to make your best case of why you think I cannot be trusted. And then after those 5 minutes are over, I will do my best to respond in the time that I have. This is the shortest segment of the show, so I want to let you know that up front. Okay. So is that okay with you? If I just give you 5 minutes and it's uninterrupted, I won't say a word, provided you don't swear, we won't interrupt you. Okay.
We'll see if you don't interrupt me.
All right. So I'll start the clock beginning now. All right. The floor is yours.
Okay.
Sir.
So yesterday, Steve, I mean, first you said that you laid down ground rules, and you did. You said Steve will answer to complaints about him alone and not other Blaze personalities or the Blaze in general. Fair. And I agree to that. I haven't brought up anybody from the Blaze, and you cut me off there. You've also said that I'm only not backing Trump because of COVID. And that's not true. I mean, he re-signed the FISA warrants. He lied about building the wall and then having Mexico pay for it. And then he laughed in all of our faces. Just the deranged and bitter way that him and his followers went after Ron DeSantis in that primary, the way that they attacked him and lied about him and smeared him and went after his supporters in such a vile, vicious way. There is absolutely no way that I would want to be on that team again. There are plethora of reasons why I won't back Donald Trump. He's dishonest. He's unrepentant. He is now on trial for paying a porn star hush money. The entire deception of the 2020 election, that it's now come out that he knew that he lost the 2020 election. And I'm not saying there weren't abnormalities in the 2020 election, but who enabled the mail-in ballots? It was him. It was Trump. And I was there in 2021, still with my Trump gear on. I was there and even through maybe beginning of 2022, just waiting for Trump to come out and say, look, I'm better than anybody when it comes to Fauci. I can take this guy on. I did some things wrong and I'm going to do them right this time. But he didn't do that. He just incessantly cried and moaned about the 2020 election, that he that it was stolen from him, that everybody's unfair to him and all these things. And he also sold us out to Big Pharma, taking the $1 million from Pfizer and then pushed Operation Warp Speed. He's completely unrepentant about that as well. I am somebody, I don't make my money by coming onto a platform like you, Steve, and having sponsors that I am beholden to or things like that. I make my money in the private sector. I can't go through another shutdown, okay? And I was willing to even vote for Trump in 2020, but I can't go through that again. Okay? Neither can my wife. We can't go through that again. I have gotten no assurances from this guy that he is going to do anything different, that he wouldn't shut our country down again. And now he's on this revenge tour. Who exactly does he consider his enemies right now? People like me, DeSantis supporters, people like you. And where it comes to when I made the statement that you can't trust any of these guys with podcasts, it's because there is really this investment from a lot of people that podcast on not solving the problem, that they make money complaining about these problems. So when somebody comes along that can solve the problem, they seek to destroy him out of self-preservation. And that's what you see, because they would rather go on crying and complaining. You see this detachment. Trump is the one that gave us Mike Johnson. He's the one that gave us the Ukraine funding. He's the one that pushed for the Ukraine funding. And then they come through and give us Ukraine funding. I think we need to get out of that war. I think we need to stop funding the war machine and BlackRock and Vanguard. And that's what Kennedy has come out and done. And that's what he stands for. Now, when it comes to why I don't think I can trust you, first of all, you've misrepresented things I've said on here already with, I only don't want Trump because of COVID. It has nothing to do with anything else. That's not true. But you said the following. You said today's the 3-year anniversary of the dumbest and most immoral management decision of our human history, one that we are still paying for economically, financially, physically, mortally, and emotionally. All those who made that decision have expressed no remorse for it whatsoever. Right. In fact, on the right, we're expected to just immediately rally behind the ringleader of the time to make him ringleader again, despite his lack of self-awareness or humility about the whole demonic endeavor, and the system played him as a useful idiot for no questions asked. Well, I can promise you this, I'm going to ask tons of questions until we get answers. Nothing you will do will stop me. No ratio, no threats, no demagoguery, and on and on. I will continue to confront this evil to the end. Well, you're not confronting it now, Steve. Now you're telling people that we need to vote for this guy in spite of the fact that he did something that you called demonic? No, absolutely not. And especially, let me tell you, when we've got somebody else who has taken these agencies on, who is standing up for things that are right, who is somebody that is somebody that I feel has it right on pretty much everything. Let's just say Second Amendment. Robert F. Kennedy Jr.
Right.
is bigger on the
that's five
Second
minutes.
Amendment now.
That's five
than,
minutes.
Than Trump.
That's
so,
that's five minutes.
Where I feel like I can't trust you is because you're now going back on what you said here, and I feel like you're backing Trump because this is something that you need for acceptance, or maybe because you work for a big corporation. I don't know, Steve. Only you know.
Okay. So I'll respond as best I can because I timed it. And 3 minutes and 41 seconds of what you said had nothing to do with me. It was just you wanted to have a proxy debate on Trump versus DeSantis. So I will not even address any of that because that wasn't
why I'm here.
That wasn't the no. That's not why you're here. You're here to talk about why I can't be trusted. I'm going to, but you only addressed that for like the last minute and 20.
Well, I'm sorry that hurts your feelings, Steve.
My feelings aren't hurt. You just didn't do what I asked.
So, sorry, Steve.
I mean, the audience's feelings, Mike.
Like
the audience's feelings.
Should I wear the mask? Should I take the vaccine? Are you going to be telling people to wear a mask next, Steve? Is that what you're going to be doing?
Are you okay?
Come on, man.
Okay, I'm going to ask
Come
a serious question.
Seriously?
Chris, are you well?
I can tell why you're losing viewers right now, Steve.
I can too, because I'm trying to be fair to you. I should have cut this off a long time ago. All right, but I'm a man of my word.
Yeah, censored me just like the libs do.
So no,
MAGA
I'm not.
And the libs are
I'm not
so
like that.
Alike.
That's why I'm going to keep you on when people are tuning off because of you. But
I
need
no,
to ask a question,
that, that
Chris.
A lot of people are not listening to your show anymore because of the direction you're going in, Steve.
Chris,
and honestly,
well?
With DeSantis listening to you, I can see why he lost.
Gosh. Yes,
you're now humping Trump now. I mean,
no,
you're the one advising him.
Yes, that's what DeSantis did. Listen to me the entire time.
Were you the one telling him to go soft on Trump? Is that? Were you the one telling him that?
You still didn't mention. So you think I'm not to be trusted because I disagree with you?
No, because you said something. You called something evil, and now you're telling us to vote for something that you called demonic, Steve. You called it demonic back here.
It is demonic.
Now, for whatever reason, you're saying I should just put that aside and vote for this guy? No.
First of all, I've not, Todd, have I advocated one time on this show for anybody to vote for Trump?
No.
This cycle? No.
No.
In fact, what's your position on voting for Trump as of today, Todd?
I have no idea what I'm going to do.
Yeah, Aaron's not here, but his current position is he's not going to do
it. He's probably not going to do it.
Yeah. So do we sit around here?
I asked you earlier if you're advocating for
Trump.
Do we
sit around here advocating that people have to vote for Trump or any of these candidates all the time?
No, and we never should.
No, we just tell people to follow their conscience. Okay. As to your thing, I own my own show. There is nothing the Blaze could do to ever cancel me. They could cancel the show off the Blaze. It would just be right back the very next day. I own everything I do. I own the movie. I own the books. No one can cancel me. I'm only God, literally, is the only thing that could, only being that could cancel me on this earth. I'm uncancelable. All right.
So
the Blaze could stop this show tomorrow. I'll just do it from my basement to the same RSS feed that I'm doing it now. So I don't have any of those motivations that you're talking about whatsoever. And
I don't know what your motivations are, Steve.
Well, you asked me and I'm answering. I gave you the chance. I get the chance to now respond.
You're not a really fun guy. You know, I don't think I would ever want to invite you to a party. You're kind of like a guy that I wouldn't really want around like a fun event. You're kind of a buzzkill, you know that?
Yeah, the truth is.
You're angry. You know what? You should relax a little bit. Why don't you go to the beach or
I'm perfectly
chill out a little bit. You seem a little
I just gave you 5 minutes to make a fool out of yourself on my show.
I'm pretty demonstrate that you're probably not that stable of a person, and you're basically
auditioning to be the Ron DeSantis Laura Loomer. So I mean I think that I'm actually pretty relaxed. I was so confident that you were going to faceplant as you did
I really
debated with myself whether to give you 10 minutes instead of 5, but I didn't think the audience could put up with another 5.
Well,
so I wanted to, you know, euthanize it when I could and give them a little bit mercy. Am I not merciful? I mean, I cut it to 5. I debated whether to do 10, but I only gave them 5. As to your other part, I mean, I noticed I'm not angry at all. Actually, I think this is kind of pathetic, but to answer your larger question, and I will, because I think this is fair. Mute him again, please. Victoria, thank you. The reality is you have provided a one-sided view of Donald Trump's record. Now, if that one side is not good, and so if you don't want to vote for him for those reasons, don't. How many times have I said that on this show, Todd?
Many.
Who has done more to expose that one side of Donald Trump's record than I have? It's a short list. If those are disqualifying things to you, and I knew they would be for a lot of people, which is why I tried so hard for DeSantis so that we would not have to have these arguments again in an election that I think is very important to throw out the people in power. You may not think it is. I don't blame you for that either, especially after last weekend. But Donald Trump was president for 4 years, and it is a bearing of false witness to also ignore the accomplishments. The economy was better under his presidency. We were energy independent under his presidency. We had peace in the Middle East, unprecedented peace in the Middle East. And frankly, the reason we don't have war in the Middle East right now is because of the work that he did under his administration, in my opinion anyway, in the Middle East. So you have to look at the fullness of four years. Donald Trump didn't become president on March 16, 2020. He became president in January of 2017. Also, I'm not the guy that voted for him when he had all the things with Stormy Daniels. These aren't new. We knew all this in 2015 and 16. So I'm not the guy that voted for Donald Trump when he had all these documented character concerns and no record. Chris is. I didn't vote for him then. Now Chris says when he has a record to actually give a fullness of who he is, now I don't want to vote for him. But you know what? You get to make that decision as a voter. You can make any decision you want. I'm not here to tell you otherwise. But disagreeing with somebody is not distrust, and Chris seems to conflate that. So here's what I need to do. I need to get one more live read in, and then Chris will have about 90 seconds left in the show, and I will yield you the balance of time after I talk to our friends over at My Patriot Supply. Because I think if there's anything this conversation has done, it has made you think, I need to start prepping right now. All right. I put this off long enough. Okay. So get with our friends at My Patriot Supply right now when you go to preparewithdace.com. Most emergencies come without a warning. The last hour has demonstrated that. You won't have time to pack and prepare. So you need to get ready now when the emergency strikes. Secure those supplies at my website, preparewithdace.com. Start with a four-week emergency food kit from My Patriot Supply, helping millions of Americans prepare since 2008. They are the experts in self-reliance. Their four-week emergency food kits, 2,000 calories a day, protected by heavy-duty four-layer packaging. These kits, therefore, stay good for up to 25 years. With proper storage, they ship fast and free. You can save $50 per kit right now at preparewithdace.com. That's preparewithdace.com. All right, Romans 8:28. Chris, there is 30 seconds left in the show. I'm going to let you have the last word. Go ahead.
All right. Well, Steve, you know, I don't know about you, but during the shutdowns, I was affected very deeply. And, you know, now you're pushing this end of the world stuff, okay? Oh, gee, like, prepare for the end of the world stuff. Talk to our sponsor. Okay, look, I don't buy into that whole doomsday, everything's coming to an end thing. You know, I think things are pretty good. And things are, if you ask if I'm better now than I was 4 years ago, I'm much better now. But I want somebody who is not going to shut my business down again. I want somebody who is going to actually come through on their promises. And I want somebody who's going to end these wars. That's not Donald Trump. That's Robert F. Kennedy Jr.
Thank you, Chris. Appreciate it.